بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. الله سبحانه وتعالى mentions in the Quran, تلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين لا يريدون علوا في الأرض ولا فسادا. And it means that, or this is the life or the abode of the hereafter. We have made it for those who do not desire uluwa, to be elevated. Fil ardi wala fasada. Fil ardi, to be elevated upon the earth. Wala fasada, and they don't want to sow corruption upon the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is showing us which individuals are deserving of the Akhirah, meaning the Jannah within the Akhirah. And the Jannah, the Akhirah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is given for those individuals who do not seek elevation in this world. If you seek elevation in this world, then in many ways an individual has shown to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I don't desire the Akhirah, I desire this world, because I'm seeking status in this world. Now, we had started speaking about this already, and we left off the reality of status. Know that the reality of status is the possession of people's hearts. In order for the person of status to use them according to his desire, for them to rush to fulfill his needs, and for tongues to praise him. And the reality is that's exactly what status is. See, status is earned, status is taken, status is given, but nonetheless status has a role. And the role of status is that you use your position amongst other people for some sort of benefits. If you're an employer, you're using your status for the sake of getting X, Y, and Z done, some specific goal accomplished. If you're a, person in politics, you're using your status now to be able to reach some ends when it comes to government needs. If you're a celebrity, you're using your status for what? To deal with the hearts of people so that you can sell a product. Maybe the shoes, whatever the case may be that you're selling. So status is really just having people's love in their hearts, in the palm of your hand, so you can utilize it for some personal benefit. This is similar to trying to chase the hubbul mal, love of wealth. But there's a bit of a difference. And the difference is usually, hubbul mal, having wealth, is for some end. Whereas hubbul jah, which is the desire of status, the wantonness of status, the possession of it is not as clear. So what do I mean? Wealth, you want to possess wealth. Love of wealth leads to possession of wealth to go gain some products that you want. There's some goal you want from it. Whereas jah, you get that jah. Now what do? You attain the hearts of people, and now there's no set goal with it. Is to utilize however you will for whatever purpose that you may have. Now, unlike popular belief in the modern day context, getting wealth is a lot easier than getting status and position. There are many people who are just not popular, but they're quite wealthy. There are many people who are not popular, but they're quite wealthy. There are contingencies of our community of humanity that just do not like them. Maybe they're jerks. Maybe they do things that violate Sharia. Maybe they're not kind. Maybe they've... Whatever the case may be, there's some results. And that result usually causes what? That causes those people to now receive the wealth that they have, but not have position. Wealth is easier. If you have some means to earn wealth, you can gain wealth. People might not respect you nor love you, but you've gained wealth. When it comes to attaining status, you have pretty much only one way to it. So if you have wealth, you can technically steal. If you steal, you can be very wealthy. No one catches you, you're fine. No one's going to take it away. If you have wealth, you can technically do take many paths to receive it. But how do you attain, a position that's quite common? It goes through one path. You often have to impress people. And when you impress people, it's rarely easy to impress two people at once. If you impress one person, you are not impressing the other. If I have two friends who like two different things, I'm trying to impress based upon one skill set, the other might not be impressed anymore. When we're trying to impress the creation, and we have the Allah, our creator, we've impressed one, we have not impressed the other. Depending on who we try to impress, we've lost out in the other way. So hubbul jah, you're trying to really chase after people's hearts. People's hearts don't belong to us. They belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we try to take that, we try to take that position, we try to take whatever benefit we can from people, we try to capture their hearts such that we're able to utilize it for whatever personal gain, we have now taken something that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has the highest position. Allah, to Him belongs all devotion. And to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the right to utilize people for some end and benefit. So, when a person, as a result, when he or she attains status, what creeps in? Haughtiness, they become quite proud. What else creeps in? Pride, a consideration of loft, a consideration of might. And these are from the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are from the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made all human beings to be in submission to Him. And our ruh, our soul, is the greatest tool by which we submit to Him. Allah ta'ala says, قُلْ الرُّوح مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Say, the soul is in the command of my Lord. It's under the command of my Lord, not the command of human beings. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He brings many examples of this in the Quran, of people who try to utilize their status and position for their own personal gain, and we see how Allah ta'ala dealt with them. What did Fir'aun do? Ana rabbukum al-a'la. He said, I'm your Lord Most High. He tried to use his position. How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with him? That the people who he tried to influence, they escaped him, and the world that he claimed might over drowned him. Look, yes. Riya, ostentation, showing off, can come from status. If people don't have status, also show off. So, for example, if I'm a person who's, you know, a student in school, and I have no position in the eyes of people, but I do something good, I can do it over and over so I can show off to people. People are impressed by me. They can be related. A lot of these things will be intertwined. With Riya, it's a lot more subtle. Hubbul jah is a lot more obvious. Riya, and the Prophet mentioned hadith, it's like a black ant crawling on a black rock in the blackness of a night. You can't tell, it's so imperceptible. But that's what riya is. Yes. Riya means ostentation, showing off. Yeah. And in fact, sometimes a person has what he thinks to be a good intention. He says, I'm not showing off. I'm just using Allah's gift. But in reality, their intentions are not as they make it seem. And this is why the first three people enter into hellfire are people who fall short because of riya. And we'll get into that shortly, inshallah. So Fir'aun, what happens to him? He tries to command people, use his status. Those people escape him. He tries to utilize the earth for his benefit, his tyrannical way. What happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that same earth drown him. And then, game set, match point. There's nothing left for Pharaoh to do in this world. He has no place that remains. So what is the reality of high status? When it comes to blame and praise. The reality is that if seeking high status is a result of, you know, reason, and is in line with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established as divine attributes, then why is it so bad? Don't we want some divine attributes in our lives? Don't we want to be able to have characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within us. Everyone wants to be merciful. Everyone wants to be forgiving. Everyone wants to be generous. These are divine characteristics. So, if haughtiness and other things are also there, they're also divine characteristics. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he says that seeking high status can be praiseworthy and not blameworthy. What's the highest status a person can seek? Anyone? Sorry? Abdullah, yeah, to be the servant of Allah. That's the highest status a person can get. So seek that high status, seek that position. We should recognize the highest being is Allah, and to be subservient to Him is best. Because when you have hubbul jah, you're actually an abd. How are you an abd? Because you are mimicking and tailoring your life in such a way that you are subservient to the desires of people, such that they now accept you as being a person of position. But the reality is you changed yourself around. You turned everything a certain way so that you'd be accepted by people. You became abd to the people. And we're supposed to be abd to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the reality is that if we are trying to be a better person, we're trying to bring within ourselves perfection, our characteristics. But real perfection comes from knowledge. It also comes from the ability to not be to be free. It comes from power. That's real perfection. And in this real perfection, what happens is an individual who strives for real perfection does not begin to link his concept of power to the status of others and the position and role of others. Mutanabbi, how many studied Mutanabbi? So Mutanabbi is a, you study him? No. You don't study him. You have to study him in Madrasa, but yeah. First you do, what's that called? Then you get to Mutanabbi. Diwan Mutanabbi. Mutanabbi, his name is Mutanabbi for a reason. He, according to some of the ulama, faked being a prophet, or drew for himself the characteristics that he wanted people to assume that he's a prophet. He was very eloquent. He could make up a line, a verse at any moment, the drop of a hat. And there's debate and discussion, did he actually claim to be a prophet or not? Anyway, he says, the worst sorrow to me is a happiness that I'm certain will go away. That's the worst sorrow for him. And if you look at it, anything you attach to something that's temporary will eventually go away. How many of you enjoyed the breakfast this morning? It's gone away. If you attach your pleasure to that, you're going to be in sorrow for a long period of time. If you attach your pleasure to a sports team, eventually they're going to fall. Be they almost perfect, and then they fall, or be they not close to perfection, and then they fall, whatever the case may be. In this world, only one thing, and in all worlds, only one thing is perfect, and that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want perfection or happiness, we seek what? Status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't seek status in mankind. We seek status and position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. Whoever fears his status, his position in front of his Lord, his standing in front of his Lord, وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. And he subsequently desires, he subsequently what? Pushes away, he denies his nafs. إِنَّ الْجَنَّةِ الْمَأْوَىٰ. His abode is paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only real, He's the only true thing in this world. Everything will come to an end but Him. So, if an individual wants to utilize his knowledge for the sake of gaining power and gaining position, he should utilize that knowledge to understand that only Allah ta'ala will always exist. And only His essence and attributes will always exist. Everything else will come to an end, and oftentimes when it comes to an end, it's a punished end. For freedom, what do you do? See, the biggest slaves in this world are the people of power. Because they are enslaved to how people look at them. You ever meet those people who dress however they want, no matter what someone tells them? They're totally not slaves. Everyone else is saying, brother, this is not good. You have to make sure you dress nice and look nice for the people. Don't you know the Prophet said this and that and this and that and this and that? He didn't say any of those things. It's in the same book of hadith that, you know, Rasulullah told us to have good grades. You know, he never said that either. But our parents quote from that book all the time. At least some of our parents do. The real perfection, the real freedom comes from not caring. If you don't care, who's going to stop you? Look, if I don't care what people think about me, and I care only what Allah thinks about me, I'm no longer trapped by the dunya. If I care what the world thinks about me, I'll always be trapped by the dunya. How I dress, how I look, how I speak, how I act, how I walk, everything will be restricted by the dunya. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has made the akhirah the place of liberation. A dunya, sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir. And by contrast, the akhirah is a sijnul kafir and it's jannatul mu'min. Allah Ta'ala has told Dawud alayhi salam that I am your inevitable end, you'll always come back to me. This is in the book Imam Daylami rahmatullahi alayhi. And he begins to say that everything else, like wealth and children, they're all worldly adornments. So in this world, they lose their world because they lived a life in which they try to please others and subsequently act in a way that they themselves did not really want to act. And in the akhirah, they lost that because they were chasing after the opinion of others of this world and not of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. The difference between you and me is I can't close my eyes and nod off. I have to just yawn and push through it. Okay, so I want everyone to stand up. Now turn around and face the back. Okay. If that bed is appealing to you, just go lie down and go to sleep. Because you're just torturing yourself. Just go to sleep. It's okay, it's not a problem. You can come back if you want to sit down and come back here, but I'm serious. Some of you are fighting it. I feel bad for you. Just keep walking that way. It's okay. I have no problem. I face you guys in that direction. You're halfway there now. Just take a few steps. You're done. I'm not insulted at all. I'm not upset. If people in front of me, no, you guys aren't, but if you fall asleep, I don't mind. But you're torturing yourself. Just go to sleep and wake up early and do more worship in the day. Whereas you're fighting it and fighting it and fighting it. And all you're hearing is mutanna. As Allah subhanahu. And this is what. And that, nothing. There's no benefit there.
Just cleared up.
Sorry?
You just cleared up.
Sort of. But just go relax. Yes, it's praiseworthy to stay up to Ishraq. Yes, no doubt. But our ulama have mentioned, look, we have way too much time between Ishraq and it's an hour and a half. Just get some rest. Wake up early. Wake up at 10 instead of 12, you know? Just go get some rest. I'm doing better than I did when I was fundraising, you know? People are responding to this call. Anyway. Or lie in your bed and listen to me. And you can listen to me from there, you know? Alhamdulillah. You know, when I teach, I don't actually look up. If you guys notice, I don't make eye contact with people, so I actually don't know who's falling asleep. So if you went back there thinking I'm calling you, I have no idea who's falling asleep. I always keep it beneath the heads, the necks of people. That's all I look at. So I have no idea if you're sleeping or not.
For a reason.
Sorry? My modesty. No, I'm joking. I have a hard time making eye contact. It often causes me to overthink things. I start stuttering and stuff. So. So, all these things, they are here with us for life. Death does not remove knowledge. Remember, death is not non-existence. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ. Death is not عَدْمُ الْحَيَاتِ. عَدْمُ الْحَيَاتِ is the absence of life, is death. That's not death. Death is a created concept. There was no death. When we didn't exist, we weren't dead. We weren't alive. We weren't either of those things. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ. Death was created as a test for you. Life is created as a test for you. When a person dies, what happens? There is no عَدْمُ الْحَيَاةِ. A person has just moved on to what? A different type of life. Just like Yawm al-Alas was a different type of life. Just like the moments in the wombs of our mother was a different type of life. So too is death a different type of life. And so Imam Zahid rahmatullah alayhi, what he's mentioning is that when you look at your knowledge and your faith, these things are going to equip you to be able to understand what's high, what position in society, status, all those things, and will help you fight them. He mentions that you need to recognize that in the afterlife, those who strove for only this world, they lost everything. They lost their knowledge, they lost their freedom, they lost their power, they lost everything. And then we should not think that knowledge and faith and all these things will depart at death. They maintain with us. They carry on with us. When the body is, you know, taken apart, when the soul is removed from it, and the soul now moves on, it still has recognition and knowledge. It knows what's happening to it. In many ways, it's even more perceptive than before having faced death. Now, how does one remove love of death from his heart or her heart? Status from his heart or her heart. First of all, we should know that even if the entire dunya did sajda to you, that sajda is only going to last a few moments. It's all going to come to an end. Nothing in terms of status exists in this world. How many of you used to love one of the imams of the haram as your favorite reciter? How many has he been replaced by someone else? Sorry? None of you, subhanAllah. You, yes? What was your hijrah? What did you... Yes, Fazi. Yes. Yeah, he's gaining popularity. I've been directed to a few of his YouTube recitations. It's good. It's not like, you know, our guys over here. Anyway. So things all come to an end in this world. Even if everyone bow down to you, they won't remain bowing down to you to the end of time. Look, Allah is in charge of us, and we bow down to Him, and then we don't even listen to Him after that. So why would people in this world be subservient to us for a moment and continue beyond that moment? They're going to use you. Your existence is part of their hubbul jah. You're an employer, you're a person of status. What do? They begin to become nice, they become a bit subservient to you. And now what are they doing? They're using you. So they can now move up the corporate ladder as well. Hubbul jah is just destruction. It's just destruction because no one is able to remain genuine. And hubbul jah comes in the strangest forms. There is religious hubbul jah. People want the position of being imam, for example. People want the position of being the board member, for example. People want the position to be this coordinator, or that coordinator, or this director, or that director. That's what people want. And then what do they say? Because they don't want to expose themselves. Oh brother, I'm doing this for the sake of Allah. Don't you know Yusuf alayhi salam? When he was freed from the prison, he told the king, appoint me to take care of the treasury. See, it's proof. If you see a characteristic within yourself, you can make it known so you can give benefit to the ummah. Completely abusing Quran for a person's own personal gain. That's all the person's doing. Hubbul jah is there. And people, whether they want to believe it or not, and admit it or not, it's not going to... It's very problematic. It's very, very problematic. Those same people in this world will harm you in this world. It's usually the case. I was just thinking about that one book, Death of a Salesman, just yesterday for some reason. Because I'm an English teacher, so these things still exist in my heart. And I was thinking, one, the main character, Willie Loman, what does he always do? He's always saying, but Howard, I named you, I named you. And finally he says, these things don't matter anymore. We live in a different day and age. Your naming me is not going to keep you in my company. You'll be my father's friend, I'm not going to keep you in my company. And he fires him. And that's what happens in this world. You are just a stepping stone for someone else. And someone's a stepping stone for you. Look. Rasulullah ﷺ was once asked by a Sahabi how about gaining in this world. What did he say? He said, leave the delights of the dunya. When you leave searching or seeking the dunya, people will come seeking you. And it's true, those people who seek the world, we don't say, man, those guys are so awesome, I want to be like them. Maybe we want to be like them, but we don't say much about them. But those people who are completely like mustaghni from this earth, that have no desire of the dunya, we find them awesome. Man, that guy's so awesome. He doesn't even care. Like, he totally came in driving, you know, his car, came in the masjid, everyone was dressed in suits, he just came in, you know, simple kameez and lungi. He's so awesome, he didn't even care. You know, that's how we respond to people, because we see, that's what's so appealing, right, about these people who are outside the norm within our social context. Those celebrities who get their own, you know, what's it called, haircuts to look a certain way. It's so awesome. It's so unique. He doesn't even care what the norm is. No, that person is just making their own norm. Remember, they have your hearts in their hands. Now, what are they doing? They're just using it to make sales, etc. So, an individual should recognize that having some position in the world is permissible. It's impossible to escape from the world. To seek position in the world for outside of a valid reason is problematic. Person's working, wants a raise. So what is a raise entitled? Position. So he has to say, this is Hubunja, I'm leaving. No, he continues to work hard in his work. Maybe fills in an application, or now has his name put in the timeline to go see whoever's in charge. There are benefits in this world. Yes? Just because a person works and gets paid by an Islamic organization doesn't mean a person's intentions are not pure. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu took wealth for the sake of Allah. He repaid it in the end, but he took wealth. The idea is for us, if you're working for an Islamic organization, you're working for a masjid or something, or a school, then you notice that people are saying mashallah, but you're just trying to, you know, progress professionally. Just don't pay attention to people. Let them say what they have to say. Read the du'as that we've studied. People's tongues will always be ready to speak. Why? Because people have no lives. I'm serious. The people who are quietest usually have a very powerful life. And that's why they're waiting to leave their surroundings to go back and indulge themselves in that life, be it through worship, remembrance, work, etc. People have a lot of time on their hands, usually don't have an enjoyable life. That's why they have so much time in their hands. And they talk. Why? Because they're seeking some companionship. So be from the former group. Make your life valuable. When you value your own life, people will value your life. And when you stop valuing your own life, people stop valuing you. Why? Because when they don't see you having any high azima. There's no high resolve there. So if you do end up taking status in this world, and somehow you do get position in the eyes of people, and you did it the proper way, then no problem. No problem. You will still have to fight off the big problems in the heart that exist, but at least here, you're fine. Now, what about the love of praise, which motivates seeking status? Everyone loves being praised. Everyone loves being praised. It's human emotion. It's human nature. And humans love the opportunity to be spoken about. You have a friend. The friend talks about you. You're even closer to that friend than before. Why? They've appreciated you. They have appreciated you. That's not appreciation. That's just whatever it is. So, now what is the reason we seek position? Sometimes it's love for praise. How does an individual fight off love for praise? So the first thing is that it gives them the feeling of being perfect. Because often there's a connection with some divine attribute. So what do you do at that moment? You do not give that door to shaitan. You fight against shaitan's whispers. By doing what? People come and say, SubhanAllah, brother, you're amazing today. No, your fundraising was great. You know, your speech was awesome, whatever the case may be. And they're praising you. That's fine. Let them praise me. Let them praise me. As long as one, you know, there's no truth to it. It's very, very important. People sometimes just say, okay, I'll deal with it later. You cannot deal with the disease of the heart later. It's like having a rotting carcass in your home. It's in a smell. You got to get rid of it before you move on. And this is the case. This is also the same case. So we should recognize that we have certain characteristics that are praiseworthy, and we don't consider ourselves perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Rather, those characteristics Allah Ta'ala bestowed to us as a gift. And now on the day when Isha will be prayed in your masjid past the last Ramadan, you know that Isha after the last Ramadan, he isn't feeling with that. It's a different Isha, because no one comes. You know what I'm talking about? That day when no one comes? Yeah, tonight. That's the day when you can tell if you are operating on a divine attribute. Because Allah's divine attributes are regardless of people noticing. Allah is all hearing when we speak. Is He all hearing when we don't speak? Absolutely. Allah is all hearing when we... is all seeing when we act. If we're not in existence, is Allah still all seeing? Yes. Allah is all knowing when the earth operates. What if the earth stops operating? He's still all knowing. So when a person has continuity in their worship and submission to Allah Ta'ala, that is adopting characteristics of perfection from the divine attributes. What happens at that moment? That which is used to gain those attributes for worldly gain, hubbul jah. That which is used for ukhrawi gain and closeness to Allah, not hubbul jah. There's nothing wrong with taking a higher position, nor aspiring towards it. What's wrong is when you take and aspire towards it and you hope to subsequently take for yourself what doesn't belong to you. That's what really the purpose of leadership, not leadership, the purpose of a false understanding of leadership and rule is. I can get whatever I want for myself. You get a better position, you know you're qualified for it, you apply. That's called applying for a job. You in the interview, you speak about yourself. That's still not hubbul jah. Hubbul jah is knowing if I get this position, my family will be really well off. But if I can just sit with this individual in this position for a period of time, and then subsequently what? Gain more access to the dunya, that's likely hubbul jah. No, that's different. Making more money to take care of your family is different. Yes, Farhan. It's fine. إِنَّكَ لَتَسِلُ الرَّحْمَ وَتَكْسِبُ الْكَلْ. He earned for the people who are having difficulties, Allah is in them. It's fine. Yeah, young Hafiz steps up to the plate. Now you want to praise this guy. Keep it limited and move on. Don't be indulgent in praise. That was great. I never heard such recitation before. This and that. That exaggeration, that you're feeling problems. MashaAllah, you did a good job. May Allah increase you. Move on.
But what about for your spouse or parents?
Then go overboard. For your spouse and parents, go overboard. Yeah.
How much they're going over, like if your parents are like going overboard with you?
You can tell them shut your mouths, but that's not going to really work, right? Yes. Then they'll say you're horrible. I told you I wasn't good. Just recognize it's not true. Just recognize it's not true. Yes. Okay, so I'll say, for the vast majority of all of you, you don't fit that category. Because you haven't gained the requisite knowledge to do so. I'm including that category. I'm not saying you, and I'm not. I'm including that as well. If I wasn't included, I wouldn't be going to my teacher seeking advice on what I have to do step by step. You apply for a position, that's fine. Apply for the position, but to step up and say, for example, you know, you need to elect me onto the board. We don't have elections here for our board, so it's sort of a moot point. But you need to elect me for the board. Why? Because I have this and this and I'm your man. It's called campaigning. It's called coveting a position. Abu Bakr, when he stepped up today, said, I never wanted this. Coveting position is not from our sunnah. We don't seek position. If position is given to us, then we accept it if necessary. But if not, then we don't. These things are poison. Once you get a small little taste of it and you want more, it's really problematic. To leave behind a legacy is not problematic. It's okay to leave behind a legacy. However, if an individual alters his or her genuine lifestyle for the sake of getting the attention of people, that individual has not taken advantage of what Allah Ta'ala has given him, because they sought for something very, very low. When Allah Ta'ala gives you something, you have to begin to have high aspirations. What is the highest aspirations? Allah. Anything beneath the heavens is a low aspiration. When you utilize the aspiration and you're honest with yourself, sometimes that may mean that, you know, I'm the perfect one for the job. That's fine. But then to go overboard and to begin to focus on discussion, like psychological discussion, just talking to yourself about why you're so great, no benefit. What is love or praise, which causes seeking status? You've instilled within a person, because you've overly praised him, this idea that I'm much better than I thought I was, which is very, very problematic. I don't know if this answers your question or not. All of us want to be remembered. We try to catch the attention of people we love and don't even know. It's a natural disposition for many people. However, if your memory serves to be a benefit to people, there's nothing wrong with being remembered. If you're remembered in the court of people and forgotten in the court of Allah, it's a big problem. So, keeping a legacy and remaining behind is not problematic, meaning remaining behind through the annals of time because of the legacy that you left is not problematic. If you make the intention, Rasulullah ﷺ wanted to be remembered. Everything of his was preserved. Why? So when he's gone, benefit can still be had. I personally take these questions to my sheikh and ask such questions. As a result, I get guidance on how to walk a certain path that others might not. So you guys should consider also finding teachers for yourselves. I can't answer that question completely, because I would go forward only with my teacher's answer. And then I would feel that's fine. I mean, that's just me. How many of you needed to talk today? 1, 2, 3, 4. You guys remain in Muraqabah. I'm going to lay down and take a nap. And then I'm going to wake up early. Then whoever needs to talk, just come see me right away, okay? I'm not going to wake up in like 10 minutes. Wake up in a couple hours. I realized when I was talking to somebody today, I was falling asleep. I wasn't able to give you your full attention. I'm going to finish this chapter off in a few minutes. Then we'll sit down and I'll try to catch a quick nap and then wake up so I can listen to you without falling asleep on you. The third thing in which a person recognizes that the love of praise is causing desire for status, the first thing is what? That individual, when they praise and praise and praise, it makes that person feel perfect. It's deluded them to thinking they're perfect and only Allah is perfect. Second thing is that you feel that you've captured that heart, and as a result, you have some control over him or her. Third thing is, an individual, one is praising him, he listens when he's praised naturally, and thus has a higher opinion of himself than is true. For these reasons, it's very problematic to praise a person and to have love of being praised so that you can attain a specific status. For most people, the first pleasure, the way you avoid being caught in it, is you don't take any joy from people praising you if they are not from the people of insight. They don't have firas and they're praising you. That means what? They're probably not even making correct comments. They're just looking at you and think, oh mashallah, what a great brother, etc., etc. Someone with insight who can actually look into you and sort of depict your rights and wrongs, praises you, that's something that you can hold on to. The second thing, so for praise, the second thing is that if it comes from someone who's of low status, it's also very problematic. You see someone has no weight whatsoever, actually a very foolish person, and you just finished giving khutbah. That person says, that was a great khutbah. You're like, great. You know, the one person doesn't understand anything is praising me. All the other people who actually know something are just walking out. And the last thing is to praise in seclusion, for that will stop that praise from catching fire, and others will not also praise in that same way. What happens is you're sitting with a group of people and say, man, SubhanAllah, did you hear his recitation? It's so awesome. Another one comes and says, gee, mashallah, mashallah, mashallah. And then you're thinking, mashallah, mashallah, mashallah. Do it privately. If you have something good to say to the person, pull him aside and say, you know, I really enjoyed your recitation. May Allah give you tawfiq and increase you. Rather than making this whole big show of praising that person. Oftentimes when people praise and they speak, they do it so the person who's being praised is really just a secondary concept. They want everyone to notice how free they are with their praise. SubhanAllah, look at this brother, always praising people. It's problematic. We'll get into that tomorrow in a little. So now what's the treatment for all these things? Consider reflecting on all these things, that if he has wealth or status or, you know, position, and they're all going to come to an end. Why? Because all these things are temporary in this world. If he has a lot of knowledge and piety, and then he begins to be praised, he should thank Allah for those things. Someone's praising you. Alhamdulillah, this is Allah's tawfiq. Oh Allah, thank you, etc., etc., etc.